Right now it is time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Wortman. And Judy is the co-author of The Serotonin Power Diet, Simon Luther's His Tummy, the Kindle edition. Also, Before Her Voice Was Still. She also is the surrogate mother to a bunch of ducks.
What's the name of that book?
Anyway, she's a surrogate mother, and she's probably going to get an award from the National Audubon Society.
Probably, because we sent it to them. Maddie read the book. She finished the book this week, and she brought it to me, and she said, that is just the most charming thing. Right. Like you said, Jill, you were right. That was the most charming thing.
So there you go, Judy. You're the most charming thing.
But what's the name of the book?
Journal of a Duck's Midwife.
Quack, 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 quack.
Journal of a Duck's Midwife, and it is available, and it is just really charming, and I think it is so charming that I believe Maddie sent it to Audubon. We will see. All right, Dr. Wortman, good morning.
Good morning to you, and it's nice to know that I wasn't the only one cold when I woke up this morning.
Oh.
Really, really chilly here as well.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. The only thing that's I don't know, semi-okay about it, if there's nothing okay about it, but semi-okay, is that at least it now goes with the light, which has been unhinged, you know, having high humidity and warmth, and then this weird light reduction
at least the sun is shining. But one of the things I really want to talk about with you today, Jill, is the fact that many people, now that the pandemic seems to be more or less stable in terms of going back to work or not, may find that they are spending a good deal of the time indoors in their office and suffering not just from the deprivation of light, but the stress that was always there lurking in their office or in their workplace, wherever it might be. And interestingly, last week, and I was part of this and didn't realize that this was really going to happen, there were all sorts of articles talking about this stress that one encounters in going back to the workplace now that many employers are saying, okay, enough, stop working remotely from home, we want you on site, we want to be able to have meetings with you, discussions, be able to see what you're doing, and know that you're really sitting at your desk and working for 8 or 10 or 12 hours a day, and not, you know, at a coffee shop or on your exercise cycle at home, pretending that you're going to be working. And what is happening is that it's sort of like visiting, like having post-traumatic stress in a way. People are thinking about the fact that they had a great deal of stress, a great deal of a burnout when they were working, and a lot of them are reluctant to go back into the same situation. And interestingly enough, there have been surveys looking at the effect of workplace environment on anxiety and depression and, overeating and, insomnia and all sorts of really negative effects on your mood, just because working in many workplace environments is so stressful. And it's stressful because in a lot of circumstances, the workload is unrelenting. You work Monday through Friday, and then but you don't leave work, or if you at a normal hour, but you may leave work at 6, 7, or 8 o'clock at night. And then if you do leave early, you have to take your work home with you, expect to respond to emails and to text messages and to work that still sits here on your computer waiting to be handled after you eat. Many people on the weekends find that they have to work, and it's expected that you do so, not that this is your day off, that you have an opportunity to relax, to renew yourself. No, you are to continue to work because we, the employer, says that this is necessary for you. And the question is, how do you really handle this? And the one positive solution might be to try to convince your employer or the people with whom you're working that at least part of the work week could be spent at home working remotely, not the kind of remote work that we had to do during the pandemic when you had no choice and you try to make your office out of a closet or, a corner of your kid's playroom or something, or your cellar, your basement next to the exercise equipment and the washing machine. No, this is really planning to work at home under very positive circumstances where you have quiet, nobody is going to share your office space with you. You have a chance to you know, talk on the telephone privately to your clients or what have you, not in a in an open workspace where other people may be hearing, and where you, if you want to take a break and go for a walk around your house or take your dog for a walk or even go to a local coffee shop to continue working, you are allowed to do this, that you work at home, but you also have a chance to see people just to break up the day so you're not working in total isolation. And some people have made a compromise and said, okay, you can do this 3 days a week. We want you to come into the office 2 days a week because we really want to see you. We want to see your reports. We want to hear from you at a meeting. We want you to work for face-to-face with the client, and we need you to be there. But it seems to be a compromise that could work because it takes away the unrelenting stress of being in a toxic work environment 5 days a week or even six or seven if you have to even come into work over the weekend. And yet you're not... If you come into the office, you're not totally losing track of the people with whom you're working.
Right. I think that some of this is, you know, lots of different people have lots of different arrangements. The pandemic itself certainly threw a useful wrench in a lot of it because people got to see how the out of balanceness, because I guess we're human beings or maybe just people are nuts. It seems like it went out of balance in a completely different direction. But and now one of the things that amazes me, well, you know, almost philosophically, is watching people try to rebalance something without any skills. And it's almost as though the only options are to revert to what didn't work before or stick with what isn't working now.
Yes, that's right.
It's bewildering.
We become desensitized to a difficult situation. That's the only way we really can tolerate it. And then when we were not in the office and we come back to the office, you think, oh my gosh, how did I tolerate this?
But how about changing? it's the bit that makes me shake my head, you know. How about changing it? I mean, same thing. I saw what I thought. It would put the diet industry out of business. But I saw the funniest thing during the week, which is, you know, you understand that the best diet is eating healthily. And I was like, yeah, I do. But wouldn't it be hilarious if, you know, if people, instead of being given, you know, tape, one of my favorite things is, what was that, the tapeworm diet or something, Judy? I don't know.
Oh, yes, that's right. You saw tapeworm eggs.
Right. Instead of doing really bizarre things, if the diet was more, okay, so people, we got way out of whack with the food stuff and the additives and the thises and the thats, and you can thank whomever for that. But if you eat like a regular person, but what I mean by that is an appropriate amount of carbohydrate, protein, vegetable.
Right.
Your body will thank you for it.
Absolutely. And you know, and what's so bizarre, Jill, about this workplace and making, being associated perhaps with making unhealthy food choices because you don't really have the time to eat. You have to run out and get something at the local deli, and it's high in fat and, you know, very low in vegetables and fiber, etc. Is that some workplaces, and I'm not sure this still exists, have these wellness programs to convince you to eat healthily and stop smoking and exercise and take time for yourself. And they try to, and people come in from the outside and give lectures during somebody's lunch hour. This is how you should behave. And yet, the employer does not give the employee time to do any of this. You have 5 minutes for lunch. You can't go outside because you have to work and not leave your desk. You may actually find yourself smoking because it's a way of decreasing stress. I mean, I remember years ago when this was first becoming important, a friend of ours who was a partner of a very prestigious law firm in Boston and probably was working, I don't know, maybe 50, 60 hours a week, you know, and we had lunch together, and I commented that a wonderful gym that I happened to belong to at another site was moving into his building. Oh, he said to me very ruefully, I will never see that because I can't leave my office. I just don't have the time to leave my office. The only people who can use a gym in our law firm are the receptionists and the secretaries and the people who serve us lunch. That was it. And so everybody who needed it, who was working these insane work hours, didn't have the time to use it. So what was the point of these wellness programs if there was no time to actually practice anything that you were being taught? So it really people really have to take a good hard look at their work situation. And, you know, I came across a book that was published a couple of years ago called Here All Along, written by a person who had been the speechwriter to Obama and Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama and President Obama and his wife. And she worked such terrible work hours that the only time she had off was when she was sleeping, and oftentimes she might go a day or two without being able to sleep more than a couple of hours on the floor, wherever she could find a place to put her head. And she finally decided to take one day off a week, and she was Jewish. She was sort of not very religious, but she said, okay, you know, I'm going to rest on one day of the week, on Saturday. And she said, all of a sudden, my voice became, the voice in my head became quiet. My body became quiet. I could renew myself. I realized that life wasn't all about work. And I think this is something that people have to think about. Life isn't all about work, and the pandemic has showed us that. You know, life is just too fragile to say the only thing that counts is getting that next project completed.
You know, right. It's funny, whether Bill, like people, other people like Bill Maher's political stances or not, he has said for the past 15 years that a lot of the problems in the United States can be directed to what people eat and how they eat, and that the United States should put a far greater emphasis on making sure people get healthy food, know the healthy foods, and follow the healthy foods, and that will cut down on the rate we spend and the early death, and it'll also cut down on people staying absent from work because they're sick. It's such a huge, huge thing that if business, the government, and the public got together, you could increase the lifespan and the quality
Absolutely.
Of life.
Yes.
And everything, your mind, your body, even your productivity would
absolutely.
Be improved.
Yep. There we have it.
Like
we solved
else,
that.
We're going to be waiting for a very long time for this to happen.
No, we'll fix it. Thank you very much, Dr.
Okay.
Judy Wortman.
And keep warm. Bye-bye.
Food for mood.
And you can hear Judy every Thursday morning at this time on Robin Hood Radio. And if you miss it and you want to catch up on any of the other issues, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Food for Mood with Judy Wortman.